Blog Talk Radio.
Tombstone, the dead man. They abandoned their belief in the supernatural. Now you are asking me to sabotage that achievement, to send them back into the dark ages of superstition and ignorance and fear? No!
Hi there, everyone, and welcome to The Pink Atheist. I'm your host, Rachel Johnson, and thanks for being here. Today, we're going to talk about a few things that happened this weekend, and I hope everybody had a good weekend other than, what was going on politically with America. And if you got a chance to go to the Women's March this weekend, really, that's wonderful. I wish that I would have gotten a chance to go, unfortunately, with work and other duties going on. I was not able to attend, but it was an amazing march by some very amazing people, women and men alike, LGBTQ, and it was brilliant. It was wonderful to see. I was watching all of the videos and pictures come across the internet and really, really wish that I had been there. But to everybody who did attend, I think that you're amazing, and I want you to know that. So moving forward. We're going to talk about a couple things today. One of the major things that happened this weekend was the government shutdown. And there's a lot that has happened on Twitter and been talked about a little bit on the news. I think there was some unfair reporting, and so I'm going to give you my take on it. Here's what led up to the final moment when the government shutdown took place. We should have had a budget in the fall. Obama had signed a budget, and he wanted that budget to continue for longer than it did. Unfortunately, that was not the process that happened because Republicans knew that there would be a Republican president coming in, and they wanted their budget to his budget to end and their budget to take hold. So, Democrats, of course, couldn't agree with Republicans. For numerous reasons, one of them, the most important reason being the wall. So what happened was Republicans have attached the funding for the wall to the DACA bill. Now, if you've been paying attention, a few things that were expiring is DACA, which is the Dreamers Act, and then you have CHIP, which is the children's health care. So now, it gets a little bit boring in the middle, but not really for those of you who really have that sense of compassion for people. They attached the wall to the DACA, and Democrats said no, no, no. You know, this wall is simply not necessary. It's unreasonable, and it's $18 billion. So over the next 6 years, it would cost us $18 billion to build this wall that Mexico is not only not going to pay for, but in repercussions to what kind of treatment they felt that they've got president, they have started a contract with, I do believe it is Venezuela. No. Argentina. So they have a contract now with Argentina to buy corn from them, which will cost our farmers millions. So we're going to lose that starting next year. Anyhow, so that's less money in the coffers to pay for said $18 billion wall. Anyhow, Trump is adamant that if DACA passes, he must have the funding for this wall. And Democrats have said, no, this isn't feasible, this isn't reasonable, you know, we're not going to put up this huge wall for these tons of monies that is going to go unpaid for. This budget doesn't make sense. It has a $1 trillion hole in it. You can't justify it. So when the shutdown occurred, because Republicans wanted their way and Democrats said, no, look, we're not going to do this. And they were done negotiating. Democrats decided that they were done negotiating with this. It's problematic. It's very problematic because, you know, Mitch McConnell, he definitely wants his way, and he is the lapdog of Trump, and he's thoroughly seeking this. Democrats are tired of postponing and postponing and postponing. So they decide, okay, if we can't come to something here today, we're going to shut it down. Which, you know, nobody really wants a shutdown, but sometimes shutdowns are necessary. So I'm not going to say wanted, because it does cost us money. It does cost us time. It does make it harder for America to function correctly when we have a government shutdown. It's not a good thing. But on the other hand, when you have terrible things happening in the backdrop, like holding back a hostage for a wall, it's also a terrible thing. But to make it matters worse, the GOP then turned around and said, okay, well, look, here's the deal. Either you get DACA or you get CHIP. And CHIP is the children's health care. It's for children who their parents don't earn enough to really pay for the kind of medical health care that they need. And some of these children are very ill or have very important medical necessities. So it kind of covers them in that pocket so that it makes sure that their parents don't go broke trying to keep up with these medical bills. So literally Mitch McConnell, hours after the shutdown happened, was on Twitter, and he tweets this picture of DACA versus CHIP. So he's like, look, one versus the other, and you should never have to choose. The Dreamers are, none of them are felons. You can't have a felony to have the application go through for the Dream Act. You don't necessarily have to be working, but many of these people have grown up here from either infancy or their young juvenile years, and they have gotten educations here. Furthermore, they've gotten jobs. Many of them have families here. So we're not talking about people who just want to lounge off of our system. That's not what it does at all. Some of the Dreamers are actually, you know, younger children still who eventually will be working, hopefully, you know, if they're allowed to stay here. Which, you know, another problem that we're having is how immigration has begun behaving like the Gestapo and showing up on buses demanding paperwork for people that are on them, proof of the citizenship. So this is, it's getting scarily bad. But Mitch McConnell was, you know, kind of taking this as a prideful thing, which I don't know who would want to be proud of pitting children in need of health care versus children who call this their home. That's sadistic and evil in my book. But, you know, what happened then was the White House went on to change their answering machine message so that if you called the White House to complain about the shutdown, what you heard was a message about blaming the shutdown on the Democrats, saying that they were defending criminals and it was their fault. Now, many people got on Twitter and they were like, look, this is Trump's shutdown. This is his fault. And the reason being, Trump had said, okay, look, DACA's a no-go. Then he said, okay, yeah, if you give me something, I'll sign it. And then when there was no funding for the border wall, again, he switched his answer to no. And, you know, word has been over the weekend that John Kelly and one of the transition members, I'm trying to remember his name, were influencing Trump, which, I mean, it says a lot that he doesn't have the moral or mental fortitude to lead his own way. Instead, he lets other people lead him forward. And I want to do that with you as well. I believe that the guy's name is Miller. That's what I want to say. His name is Miller. I'm going to have to look that up. But another thing I want to talk about that happened, and it's very important that, you know, we as Americans and as the public get educated about the processes by which law happens and things occur here in America. So over the weekend, I learned about something called the Hassert Rule, okay? Now, this isn't an ancient rule. It's been in for a couple of decades. And it is named after somebody who once the rule was understood and people started talking about the use of it, they were talking about the fact that it's named after a pedophile, which, I mean, I'm going to set that to the side for just a second, because I think the more important information that we need to get here from this is what the rule does and what it is, okay? So the rule is called the majority of the majority rule. It's, and I'm going to read this to you. It's from Wikipedia. It says the rule is an informal governing principle used in the United States by Republican speakers of the House representatives since the mid-1990s. To maintain their speakerships and limit the power of the minority party to bring up bills for a vote on the floor. So what happened here was that, you know, Democrats wanted to present bills to keep funding the military and make sure that they got compensation in case of death, you know. Well, obviously not them, but their family. And before the bill could even make it to a vote, and you can watch the video, it's actually circulating. Mitch McConnell, all he has to do is say he objects, and the bill doesn't even get a vote. That's as far as it gets. So a Democrat walks up, presents what is included in the bill. Mitch McConnell's standing there. He says, I object. Done. That's it. It's off the floor. This isn't democracy and how we should practice it. This is absolutely just a form of bullying. It doesn't let actual democracy work, because then any time that one side, and I don't care which side you're on, bad legislation, it's bad rules, it's bad leadership, okay? So even if Democrats were in the lead and Republicans brought up something and they wanted a vote on it, I guess the situation could be fully reversed, where they could just be like, object, and that's it. It's done. It's off the floor. It no longer matters. That's not how we should be doing things. And this is, you know, more examples of the extremism that we're facing here in America, where people are so polarized that they can't get together. Now, I'm obviously a Democrat and very liberal. There comes a time when you have to look at the other side and say, is what they're presenting of value, and should we really entertain this? And I think that if you can't take that moment of self-reflection and say, possibly something that they're doing is good, maybe we should let this move forward, there's a problem right there. That's a starting point of where this becomes problematic, and then it becomes worse, because when you can't even present anything, You can accomplish nothing, and that's not how it's supposed to be. These Democrats were elected. Those Republicans were elected. They're supposed to be a voice for all of us. But if one party gets to silence the other and they have no absolute say, then that's not democracy working for anyone. It doesn't allow democracy to work. That rule alone needs to be thrown out, and I would hope that should we move things in November towards a more democratic leadership and take over a number of the states, I would hope that they would take the chance and eliminate that rule from the future of ever being used, because it absolutely is destructive to democracy in any form. And I would hope, thankful enough, that they would want to hear any legislation put forward by Republicans. First and foremost, it's important that we hear each other, okay? You don't know if it's good legislation or bad legislation until it's put forward. I mean, these are bills, these are kind of supplemental, momentary bills that are just going to last for as long as they need to be. But it could be bigger legislation and more important. So, anyhow, that absolutely needs to be removed. It's not democratic. It doesn't allow things to function. It's terrible. But I want to talk about the fact that Trump is campaigning off of the shutdown and trying to blame it on Democrats and the way he is doing it. So over the weekend, he released a commercial, not him personally, but, you know, obviously people from his campaign. And it shows this Latino, and he's a felon, and he's a criminal, and blah, blah, blah. And the intent is to vilify people who are here under the Dreamers Act. and make them all look like they are criminals and doing there, because not only is it a lie, it's a lie that has consequences. It's a lie that gets bigger than that. Because, like I had said before, that the Immigration Services has been overstepping their bounds. Well, the problem becomes exacerbated when we are acting like the Gestapo, okay? So immigration showing up on buses, they're not supposed to do that. You know, if you are reported to immigration, or if, say, a circumstance arises, like you're driving, which, you know, obviously a person who is here undocumented wouldn't have a real driver's license. I can understand why you have to, you know, then be reported to immigration. And it is unfair, our system, our immigration system. But in the last year, it has become the worst of intended forms of dealing with undocumented people here in the United States. But it's reminiscent of Nazi Germany. And I know I say this more often than I feel like I should have to. And, you know, before all of this began, I was one who was like, okay, let's stop calling everybody Hitler. Let's stop saying this is fascism. You know, this is extreme talk, and we should really calm this down, because that's not where we're going at all. But these detention camps that we have for immigrants, and just saying that really brings me to where it's worrisome. We now have detention camps for them. We're getting on buses to look for people who are undocumented. We're searching them out in their homes. You know, they have different methods of monitoring. This has turned in, I really feel like we're a train ride short of this being Nazi Germany. And that to me is horribly disturbing, because these people may be undocumented, but they are still people. And, you know, maybe their intention is to come here and earn some money, or maybe their intention is to come here and live. Our immigration process is so messed up, all right? So you say, you know, for example, if you know somebody who wants to come here, well, you better have enough money for them to be vouched for, or they need to be in a college and still need to have enough money backing them to be vouched for. And the person has to take financial responsibility for them. You have to prove that for them to stay here, that they can assume a job that an American worker won't fulfill, which, even though, you know, most Americans don't want to pick fruit in the hot sun for 12, 16 hours a day, the government doesn't see that as a necessity to fill that spot with people who later might want a visa or, you know, a green card. So we have this problem where we have these people who we have utilized for decades, and now we are treating them like garbage, and we have made becoming an American citizen so inaccessible that we only want the wealthy, the inventors, the people who can give to America something that's more like you have such an expectation from these people that you want to draw all of their resources. And if you feel like they don't have this major value, and I don't know who decided to determine this, but then they can't become Americans, which is absolutely absurd, because you don't know who those people are, what they were, what their life was, what their kids will become. You know, and I think that this country has room. We definitely have room for these people. They stimulate the economy by buying, by, you know, having houses, renting apartments, utilities, food, everything. They're not a drain on the system. They're not sitting on welfare, because you can't get welfare if you don't have a Social Security number, and obviously you don't if you're undocumented. So therefore, these people have to work to exist, so they're driving the economy. But I digress. My main point here is that immigration has well overstepped its boundaries, and it's scary because the people can't even cry out for the injustice that they're facing, because if they're undocumented, ultimately, once they've been caught, it's kind of over for them. And I feel bad for these people, especially the Dreamers, because many of them, this has been their home for so long, or they don't even remember any other country. So this has been their only home to them. And to be deported or removed from here is absolutely absurd. So there's that. But another thing that is going on and needs to be paid more attention to is Devin Nunes. Now, this weekend, the GOP was circulating these hashtags on Twitter about the memo and talking about release the memo, which is some context to it, and I want to get into that. Devin Nunes says that he has a memo which proves that, you know, the FBI has been up to some dirty things. So he has circulated this memo throughout the members of the Senate, and some of the Republican loyalists within the party have said, oh, it's more shocking than you would believe. Now, it hasn't been released. Even though WikiLeaks has said that, look, we will pay a large sum of money if it is released. So nobody has to this point released it, and I think that there's a reason. I think that when you're crying wolf, you don't want to release the facts that show that you're only crying wolf. But here's the thing. Devin Nunes is known for his problematic role in Uranium One in the current investigation in Trump and Russia. And I think that because people are saying, look, this is just some things, some thoughts that he wrote down. This is nothing that he's proven, nothing that he has evidence for. And he just wants to, you know, stir the pot, because really Mueller is zoning in on a lot of Trump associates and all of that. But I had noticed, because I did a search on this, when I first saw it pop up, I thought, oh, well, I'm going to check this out. And no credible sources have really picked this up, which said to me something. But Republicans were going on about it, which, you know, if you know how they are distracted and try to turn the blame around, it's pretty much their agenda. So I don't think much is going to come of this memo. I think that if we do get a chance to see it, I think that ultimately it's going to be debunked as something of no value and not worth the time spent on it. But, of course, you know, when you don't have anything else to turn to, I guess you'll turn to the lies that you can make up. So, anyhow, another thing that happened this last week was Trump had a health exam. And then people were showing pictures of him beside Obama, their weights, their heights. And I think it's curious that he is 6'3", 236 pounds, and standing next to Obama, who is 6'1", 39 pounds. I believe that's yeah. So anyhow, wow. Because Obama is so fit and Trump is not even close. And it's amazing that they would lie about something so minimal. But the White House has had a whole record of this. And I think that that's something to look at, because when you will lie about the basic things, how much more would you lie about something that was very important? Now there's this whole debate. We're having a whole debate in this country about a man's height and weight, simply because he wants to lie about it. I mean, it's absolutely absurd. But one of the good things that did come out of this weekend and the shutdown was that Trump actually saved America $3.6 million because he had planned an anniversary party at Mar-a-Lago, for which people were paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for a ticket, and due to the government shutdown, he could not go, so he had to stay home. Now, I know many of you, if you look it up, you can see it, and it's posted pretty much everywhere now. There is a picture of Donald Trump sitting at his desk with the phone, the corded phone, an old-style phone, to his ear, and he has Make America Great Again hat on and his suit, and he's looking all disturbed and distraught. And this is what the White House claims he shows that he was working. There are no papers on his desk. There is no pens. He is using a corded phone at its full length. Why is he wearing a hat? Who wears a hat inside just to do some work? I don't know about you, but right now I'm currently not wearing any kind of hat because I'm sitting inside at my office, and I don't need to wear a hat to do that. So I don't know. It's so silly and absurd to me that this is what they want to make America believe, is that this is this guy working. He has to put on a Make America Great Again hat in order to do his job. I think that every bit of his actions are disturbing. And, you know, everybody is saying, and the most important people in Washington, D.C. are saying, that, look, Trump has been out of this. He hasn't answered the phone. He hasn't taken meetings. He hasn't done anything. He has just sat there and pouted. And I could see why, because Trump is very petulant. So the fact that he didn't get to go to Mar-a-Lago and party with his rich friends and have caviar with them and, you know, hobnob and be celebrated the way that he believes he should be every day of his life, I could see him definitely throwing a fit about that and not being happy. So I think that that's why the commercial is that he wants to make all the people for the Dreamers Act look like criminals as retribution, which is silly. It's absolutely the most juvenile, childish thing that I think I've ever heard of. A president trying to attack people because he didn't get his way. It's absurd. I mean, we know that people do it in politics, but it has come to levels that one could never have dreamed before that this would come to. And I think that we really need to take a good look at that, because the country is headed down a very dark path, and I hate saying that. And I think that Trump is definitely the person trying to drag us there wholeheartedly. I don't, you know, people talk about what would you do if fascism came to you, if not Nazi Germany happened in your country. And, you know, I think that most people think they would stand up, they would fight, they would roar. But here we are buying goods, going to work, having homes, having lives, watching these things go on around us. And being that at points, I think you just go numb because you don't really know how to deal with it. Even though you're warned from the outside and you see the problems and you see how terrible it is and you don't like it, I think that some part of you has to suppress all that you see. I spend most of my time catching up on articles and reading what people say who have watched fascist regimes and fascism come into play. And I can't cover my head and hide. I feel like this is a duty that I have to my country. But I can understand how my fellow Americans are doing this, and it's disturbing to me. But in the same token, I think that they have no other choice. When you have people who are so poor or so distraught or so out of sorts, I think that ducking cover is the only thing that they feel like they can do. And that's why this Women's March this weekend was so important, is because when that solidarity came, it gave me a light on the horizon that said that, you know, there is this will of the people to undertake change in America and make things better and get it going in a good direction. So I'm hoping this November that we're going to see some changes. Now, I believe that Trump was responsible for the shutdown. Paul Ryan is absolutely disturbing. Mitch McConnell, absolutely disturbing. And I think that the Hassert rule is something that we really need to get rid of. But stay awake, stay aware, keep reading. Please strive, stand what is going on here in America. This is something we've never dealt with before, and I think that's something that the American people don't want to have to go through. But, you know, I think that you either wake up and realize when fascism is trying to take hold and get rid of it, or you crumble to it. And I'm interested to see where this goes, hopefully, towards good things, because it really does scare me, the idea of fascism taking over my country. So until next time, and I hope that you've enjoyed some of the good that you have seen out of the women's movement, out of the march, out of the funny pictures and memes and good things that people are doing out there. But please become part of the resistance and remember that we're all in this together, and hopefully we'll get through it together. So until next time, everyone, take care, and I will see you again. Thanks for joining me on the Pink Atheist, and have a good night.